Gary Sigmund, MD, FAAP, is a specialist in adolescent medicine and an associate professor of pediatrics at Loyola University Health System in Chicago. Adolescence is a big time of transition. What do parents need to understand about their teenagers' emotional health?
Well, the first most important thing to know is that teenagers are not adults. Even though their bodies are changing to adult bodies and their height is increased and maybe even go beyond the parents' height, it takes a period of at least 10 years from the onset of puberty, maybe a little more, for emotional development to resemble adult emotional standards. And by that I mean there's a period of experimentation and learning about how to understand one's own feelings and be aware of one's own feeling, and finally how to control one's feelings in a way that makes them effective communicators and effective problem solvers.
What role do peers play in adolescents' emotional and social development?
Quite a large role. Peers are kind of like the stepping stone from a dependent child who's learning about the world and learning about how to help themselves or learn about the world through their parents. Peers are like the first window to the outside world, but a safe one. In other words, they choose their own friends. And so teenagers and their friends become, in effect, kind of a large learning lab where teenagers can learn about their identity in relationship to others, how their behavior affects others, what they can learn from others. They can possibly learn how to be interdependent and mutual with other people. And without that peer involvement during that period of adolescence, they become less able in their adult life to carry on adult activities.
You've described very positive influences that peers can have. Are there also problematic influences that friends can have as well?
Most definitely. Because teens are working on their identity and they want to be liked, they might be susceptible to doing things or behaving in ways that some of their friends show them or lead them into that might go against their own moral standing, but the influence and the peer might override it. So it's important that parents stay involved with kids' lives and understand as much as possible what the peer influence is, know their friends, be able to create an open conversation so that the kids can kind of explain what's happening, what their influences are, what they're learning, because the world out there might not be as safe as it was when the children were at home without peer influence.
Do you have some advice on how parents can encourage more open communication with their teenager?
There's a lot of things that parents need to learn to do to be optimal. And some parents find this almost comes naturally, but others have to work at it. Number one step is, and this is similar to what we as physicians say, in order to take care of patients well, physician, heal thyself. Parents have to heal themselves first. In addition, parents need to model good behavior. If they don't want their teen smoking, they shouldn't smoke. If they want their teen to eat healthy, they should exemplify those behaviors. And also emotional behavior. They need to use I statements, meaning like, I feel that your behavior was upsetting, or I feel that you didn't take me into account when you said that, versus you statements which say you are this way, that you don't want to talk to your teen as if they have a characteristic that is negative. Parents need to learn how to listen to what the teen is saying without immediately verbalizing back so that the teen feels free to say what they need to say. It might make the parent feel bad or feel scared, but if they answer back and try to demand certain behavior before the young person has finished expressing themselves, it won't be a safe place for the teen to discuss these issues. Parents should also be moderate about their limit setting. There has to be rules. Rules are important. Teenagers need rules to grow up healthy. But parents can't control everything. Parents should make their top list of things that are most important to them and then learn to not say about things that are solely irritating but less important. I, for instance, have parents in my practice who sometimes have rules on drugs and sex and curfew, which is good, but they also add on things like standing up straight and making sure that you're dressed properly and making sure your room's clean and everything. I'm not saying those are important. It's just that if you try to control every bit of your teenager's life, they start listening less often.
What about stress? A lot of teenagers have a job. They go to school. They have sports, other activities. They're trying to apply for college. Is it healthy to have this much stress? What is a parent's role in helping teens manage their activities?
Well, the first role is to set limits on how much activities the teen is allowed. Sometimes the young person has too many things in their agenda because it creates some self-esteem for the parent. So the parent has to recognize that the teen's accomplishments are their own, not the parent's, and so they might not need to do everything that the parent wants them to do. The teen themselves sometimes wants to do more than is healthy. They have to also have time to rest and to have a little fun and to relax, learn how to stress reduce. So the parent has to set limits if the kid wants to do more than is healthy. In addition, stress reduction is also learned in the home. If the parent is a workaholic or shows poor coping skills by either getting grumpy or screaming or yelling or by using substances like alcohol or by avoiding other people during times of stress, the teen will learn that too. So parents need to set limits on how much activity. They need to model good stress-reducing behavior. And they need to acknowledge and listen if the teen is under stress so that they can offer helpful advice.
What are some of the warning signs that a teenager might be struggling? If a parent notices that, what are the first steps they should take?
Well, sometimes it's hard for parents to tell the difference between normal teen behavior and problem teen behavior. Certainly, there are some natural changes that occur during teenagehood. If you compare the teenager to themselves when they were younger, they will be a little more secretive. They will demand a little more privacy. They will not want to share everything with the parent. On the other hand, the parent needs to watch their mood. If they seem sadder than normal, if they seem much worse communicating than in their previous weeks, if they start procrastinating much more, don't wake up, or don't do what they need to do for their school or for their chores, those could be signs of depression coming on. In addition, if they get much more cranky, if they get much more irritable, fly off the handle compared to their normal personality, that could be a clue. Finally, if they become much more secretive, where they feel put out if you ask them where they are during the day, what time they're coming home, who they're with, that could also be a sign that they're moving into some areas with peers which could be problematic, like using drugs, etc.
What steps should a parent take then if they notice some of these things?
They should try to engage in conversation. And remember that I said the ways to do that are to just listen. Try to listen to what the young person is saying before you rapidly give back a response. Try to let them know that you're concerned about them and that you're not talking to them to lead to information that could lead to punishment or consequences, that you want to understand what's going through their head at the time and why they seem different to you. It usually takes one or two emotionally healthy parents to approach them in this healthy way. And if you find that difficult, you should get help either from other parents or role models or mental health or medical professionals.
Can we talk a little about bullying? What are some of the signs that your child might be a victim of a bully or a bully himself?
First of all, bullying is much more common in this day and age than it was in the previous generation because of social network sites and computer communication. Teens spend so much time on these sites, and sometimes they have fun by saying things about others that might not be true. And then one teen might find that they're the victim of this. It's important for parents to understand the teenager's computer time as well as their away-from-home time so that they can create a balance for the teen if they are being bullied, if they can talk to them and help them recognize the likely transient nature of that bullying, and the best way to cope with such feelings. occasionally, if it's much worse, if it's systematic and doesn't go away, it's helpful to explore with the school administrators what's happening in the school. Is it being supported, or is the school aware of it? But most importantly, it's helping the teen cope. The world can be a wonderful place, but the world can be a cruel place. And teenagers are, it's a period of time where they learn about it.
What can parents do to build their child's self-confidence?
Oh, a lot. Number one is don't solve every problem for them, but help talk through the problems and try to build their own abilities to solve their own problems. Number two, give them positive reinforcement, but honest appraisal. Some parents think the way to build confidence is to always say they're great, even if they aren't great or not great. Honest appraisal is given by saying, well, that was a good effort, but if you had to do it again, I might suggest you do this, this, or this. That sounds a lot better than, you really screwed up on that. That's the way you are. So those kind of interventions, those kind of interactions, both reality-based feedback as well as positive feedback, are the best way to build self-esteem.
Doctor, in closing, what is your best advice for parents to foster good mental health in their adolescent?
Oh, well, we've alluded to quite a few of them. Number one, be an emotionally healthy, well-adjusted parent yourself and work on that. Be approachable. Be someone who can be talked to by being a good listener, helping your teen identify and express their emotions, helping your teenager problem solve, watching you be able to delay gratification of impulses by organizing and ordering things in an appropriate way. Show through your own life how intimate relationships occur, where they're interdependent and one parent or a boyfriend or girlfriend is not dominating another but is mutually supportive of each other. All of those are important ways to help teenagers become emotionally healthy.